Good morning, Indianapolis. It's Dan again, and it's Saturday morning, not quite 5:30 a.m., and I am doing a podcast, which is such a rarity. This podcast is actually an extension of an essay I published on my blog today. The title of the essay or blog entry, which is more appropriate because essay makes it sound so fucking highfalutin and bullshit. Anyways, the title is Making Friends, and in parentheses, at the end of the world. And here's the thing, I tell people this and they don't really understand what I'm saying, so I say it and I'll say it over and over again, but people still don't understand what I'm fucking saying, so I'll say it again, like I said it to my ex, I think, a trillion times. I don't believe the world is coming to an end. Excuse me, I was just getting a glass of a little drink of water. No, the world is not coming to an end. I don't, A, even if it were, it's completely out of our control on some basic cosmic level. We can't control it. A fucking comet could hit the Earth. We don't see every object in the universe with our fucking telescopes and our radar and everything else. So, some shit could come up from a fucking blind spot and we could all be whacked out. This is something NASA knows about. Things happen. All kinds of crazy shit could happen, and most of it is not worth worrying about. We do happen to live in a very crazy time, and I think it's also hard because we're not supposed to talk about it. I actually compare it to like a gypsy curse or something, which maybe is kind of racist, but anyways, it's like a gypsy curse where, talking about the thing gives it flesh and claws and therefore makes it dangerous. So you don't want to talk about it. You don't want to talk about the economy. You don't want to talk about the state of the world. You don't want to talk about, whether or not Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton are basically two giant fucking fictions of bullshit that will in no way deliver you to anything other than pain and suffering. That's it. If you vote for Trump, if you vote for Clinton, it doesn't fucking matter. All you're gonna reap is pain and suffering. Trump just fucking pulled a Goldman Sachs guy onto his campaign team. Trump spent the last couple days bragging about how good he is at going into fucking debt. If you support Trump, thinking he's some fucking libertarian quasi-hero like a Ronald Reagan or something, you're a fucking moron. Okay? You're an idiot. Donald Trump is a scam artist. Now, he might be an authentic scam artist, which means he might be telling us the truth when he's saying things like, I'm really good at debt. But that's the point. Scam artists are great at debt. That's how they survive. They make their life, they make their living off of nothing. Donald Trump is really just a well-dressed hobo. And if you're honest about it, you'll see him for what he is. He's a well-dressed, rather well-to-do hobo. He has the ethics of a hobo. He lives the life of a hobo. If a shack that he builds fucking burns down, he goes, he finds another fucking shack. In his case, it's casinos and hotel chains and fucking stupid TV shows, but what the fuck? Anyways, this podcast is not about Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. I hate saying that first name, Hillary. I just don't. It doesn't roll off my tongue. But this isn't about, Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. They're both scumbags from my perspective. This is about trying to create relationships during times like these. This is not the end of the world, but our leaders are crazy. These times are bizarre. The economic world is going through a radical transition, and it's so radical that for many people, it's going to feel like the end of the world. In fact, it already does. Let's be honest. This has been going on since the 1990s. People who talk about outsourcing and shit, what they don't realize is that this shit started almost immediately after NAFTA was passed. This shit started in the 90s, fucking moving factories to China and Mexico and everything else. So people's worlds have been coming to an end for quite a while now. It's just that, hipster, what's left of middle class, quasi well-to-do America just doesn't give a fuck. And now this fucking disease, this fucking acid that's been eating away at what's left of our fucking republic, it's getting closer to home. It's getting closer to the hipsters that live on Mass Avenue. It's getting closer to that fucking reality situation for people, that they're seeing the entropy, they're seeing the disintegration, they're seeing it around them. It's more difficult to ignore. It's like the last few months I was living in Seattle a couple years ago. You know, Roosevelt was lined with cars that looked to be basically people's homes people were living out of. I was actually living in Maple Leaf, which is a quote-unquote nice middle-class neighborhood in fucking Seattle. And the fucking Roosevelt, one of the streets nearby, looked like it was a fucking homeless mecca. And basically, everybody there is fucking shopping at Value Village because they can barely afford to make their house payments. That's reality. People will look at Seattle and say, oh, it's a high-tech mecca. Bullshit. They're taking H-1B visas, dumping them in Seattle, lowering the general salary rate for people like myself, mid-40s, highly skilled, to around, I don't know, 100K or less, top end. So maybe you end up getting a job making 100K. And I'm sure there are people out there who say, oh my God, Dan, that's so much fucking money. Yeah, it seems like a lot of fucking money until you're done paying taxes, until you actually start paying rent. And then all of a sudden that fucking money sort of evaporates. But I hear you. And you could say, well, Dan, you could buy a home and be paying yourself. Well, I could buy into that bullshit too, but it doesn't really change the equation if you're living in fucking Seattle. So, yeah, these situations are ridiculous, and you can't talk about them. If you talk about them, people look at you weird. So how do you exactly and precisely make friends or God forbid, find a girlfriend in situations like this? Do you, you know, hope and pray that somehow you run into somebody who is remotely in the same place as yourself? Do you hope you find somebody that's so okay with themselves that even if they don't believe what you believe, they're okay that you believe it? I mean, here's the thing. Where do you find the impenetrable soul of resolve and purity that either is like yourself or is open-minded and strong enough and brave enough to accept you for who you are? I know that people believe those people exist, but that's not actually true. I've experimented with a few dating sites. I've actually tried a few profiles. I've never done the dishonest one yet because I just can't do it. I wish I could. I wish I could put up a profile that says, you know, I'm really, really good looking and I make, you know, millions, billions of dollars. And, you know, I've got, you know, that unbelievable, you know, chiseled body and everything. You know, I could probably come up with a almost believable, maybe even very believable profile for just about any dating site that would make me look like some fucking Adonis. And I guess I could catfish people like that. It's just not who I am. So I've experimented with these dating sites, and for the most part, I found them to be, you know, exceptionally worse than places like Twitter or Facebook or LinkedIn, places I no longer frequent, okay? I am no longer plugged into those particular social networks. And so when I go on these dating sites, they're often worse than that. You never know if you're talking to a robot, you know, a fucking AI, or if you're talking to a real person. I mean, I know because I've written agents, and most of the agents on these dating sites are kind of stupid. But yeah, you don't know. You don't know if you're talking to someone who's getting paid to pretend to be on the dating site, to fucking flirt with guys. I'll be honest with you. I'm sure there's women that get paid to basically flirt with guys on these dating sites to fucking keep them interested. Why not? It makes a lot of fucking social engineering sense. It might be a douchey thing to do, but what the fuck? We live in a douchey world. So yeah, I would love to be able to find that speed dating situation, but it doesn't exist. And then people who say to me, well, Dan, you need to find a geek club or something, a nerd club. You need to do a nerd dating thing. You know what? I'm going to let you on a little secret, you know, and I hate saying these things to you, but I will say this. wake the fuck up. Some of the most deluded people you're going to meet in 2016 are the quote-unquote nerds. They're the people who think there's some fucking magical, you know, technological solution that they're going to read about in Wired magazine that's going to fucking save their asses from the fire. And they're the ones who will parrot all kinds of bullshit about the singularity and fucking Ray Kurzweil and fucking nanites in your asshole. And I'll tell you something. You can listen to their bullshit and you can believe their bullshit. They'll tell you about thorium reactors. They'll tell you about how fucking Elon Musk is going to send his red dragon up your fucking bunghole all the way to Pluto, past Uranus. They'll tell you all kinds of fucking shit. So the nerds are the worst. So if someone says to me, Dan, you should go to one of those nerd dating sites, and I say, no, the fucking nerds are the worst. They really are. Statistically, on average, they're the worst. They're the ones who believe some of the most outlandish bullshit. And it's because they're so fucking smart. I know it sounds counterintuitive, but it takes a lot of intelligence to build up a credible fantasy. And these folks, you know, with the help of Wired magazine and Ray Kurzweil and a few other fucking, you know, techno zealots of up the butt chicanery, these folks, they construct these elaborate realities of a future that in no way matches the fucking broken hovel that is the reality they go home to every fucking night. Every fucking night, one of these idiots is going home to some fucking container in Oakland after fucking sweating it out for barely $70,000 a year. Every fucking night, this fucker is going back to his fucking container that he pays $2,000 a month for. And he's trying to convince himself that that Wired magazine article is going to save him. No, folks, there is no magical safe haven of the soul for people looking for, you know, like-minded folks during this period we're living through. You know, I call the period to come, or the period we're barely entering, the in-between time. You know, and I think we're almost there. We might already be there. Honestly, when it comes to history, most people don't understand it except through the rearview mirror. So who knows? We could be in the in-between time now. And the in-between time is not a complicated concept. I'm hoping it doesn't last more than a few months or a few years. That's really selfish. That's because it would be awesome to spend my 50s not running from cannibal mobs. But yeah, it could last just a few months and a few years, or it could last decades. And what it amounts to, it's sometimes called the Great Discontinuity, is the period of time between the current fucking economic model, paradigm of existence, which fucking is well past its expiration date in terms of debt, and what's to come. And nobody really knows what's to come. That's why it's the in-between time, because the in-between time is in part about finding out what's to come. And during that time, shit will fall apart. And frankly speaking, nothing's going to work. The shelves will be empty. You know, look at Venezuela today and imagine the United States of America like Venezuela today. And that will give you some sense of what's coming. And so when I think about that and I think about trying to find a girlfriend for that, I think, what the fuck? What am I looking for? Am I looking for some mom with two kids who got divorced and who was treated like shit and therefore wants some man to come along like Prince Charming? I'm not fucking Prince Charming. I'm not going to come along and tell you everything's going to be okay, because that would be a lie. Everything is not going to be okay. Everything in 2016 for the 7 billion people on planet Earth is not okay. Your life might be okay right now, but I'm going to lay in a little secret. 9 out of 10 people on this fucking planet are running for their fucking lives. They're doing everything they can to scrape by, to barely survive. How exactly do you go out on a date and have a conversation about something like that? How do you explain to somebody the basic sort of existential guilt one feels when having a fine steak meal at, you know, at fucking Morton's Steakhouse, and then thinking about the fact that our entire economic policy in the United States of America is designed to squeeze the world of its wealth and to basically starve people? Because here's the deal, folks. If you're going to fucking be in the business of zero interest rates or negative interest rates or fucking money printing, there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be out of the business of eating. You know, the people that live on a dollar a day? Well, it becomes more difficult when the dollar is worth 10 cents. I'm not trying to be an ass, but let's just be blunt. And you can't talk to some girl, like say, hey, baby, hey, you know, you want to like hang out and have a beer? You want to fucking have some dinner with me and talk about different types of scenarios of how we would get out of the fucking city if the riots started? What the fuck? And do I talk about the NFL? Do I talk about fucking Kim Kardashian or some shit I saw on People Magazine when I was going through the checkout line? What the fuck do I talk about? Do I grab myself an antenna from, I was going to say Radio Shack, but we all know that place doesn't exist any longer. Do I grab myself an antenna from whatever place still does exist? And do I plug into that digital TV matrix and watch those commercials and those shows and totally have a good conversation about something funny that I saw? Do I put on the guise of the brogrammer, you know, who's going to lose 20 pounds and wants to go on a trip someplace and is going to buy a timeshare in fucking Colorado? What make-believe person do I pretend to be so I can fucking somehow get laid either before or during or at probably most likely at the beginning of the in-between time? Who or what kind of an asshole would I be if I did that? And that's kind of my point. Like, for me to basically find a girlfriend in 2016, I'd have to become, you know, and again, nobody's perfect. So saying someone's a liar or not is ridiculous. Everybody lies a little. But for me to become the person that would likely have a date or a girlfriend in 2016, I'd have to become an incredibly dishonest fuck. And I guess after my experience in marriage, I've come to realize that, yeah, it can feel like the right thing to do sometimes to keep things to yourself. It can feel like the right thing to do to sort of, you know, pretend you're somebody you're not. It can feel like the right thing to do to push down your feelings because they're messy. You know, your feelings are messy. Your thoughts are messy. And we want to have a life that's all fucking sparkling clean. It can feel like the right thing to do to participate in the delusion. But the problem is, if you're like me, you immediately sort of push it away. You just can't do it. It's a fucking hair shirt you cannot wear. So no, I'm not really that optimistic about finding the right person at this time in my life or this time in human history. And that just doesn't apply to girlfriends. It applies to finding new friends, male or female, period. Every once in a while, I come across someone. Like, for example, there's this dude who started interacting on my blog, you know, several months ago. And you know, he seemed like a nice enough person. And then he started talking about fucking vampires and shit and how he thinks I'm possessed by a demon. At that point, I thought, you know, let him keep posting, but don't interact, because what's the fucking, you know, why would you do that? Why would you try to have a conversation with crazy? If crazy's knocking on your door, and again, I know crazy's relative, folks. It's relative. I'm crazy. We're all crazy. But if the kind of crazy that potentially could turn to dangerous crazy's knocking on your door, don't fucking open the door. So I've had interactions, some of which, you know, weren't that ridiculous, some of which have been better, but if I'm really honest, the people I'm meeting, either when I was on Twitter, which I'm not on any longer, or via some other fucking things like LinkedIn, these people either don't seem real or they seem manipulative. They seem like they have a fucking agenda. And even the fucking alternative people, even the fucking people who claim to be interested in the truth, are holding on to these fucking fantasies that make no fucking sense. And they hold on to them probably because they have kids, probably because they have someone they love. And they're probably trying to play that fucking game of somehow having a foot in both worlds. Folks, the in-between time is not a line of chalk drawn across, you know, the fucking concrete in front of your house. The in-between time is the fucking Grand Canyon times 10, and you sure as shit aren't going to fucking straddle that motherfucker. So yeah, you know, I run into these people who are trying to straddle both sides and pretend that everything's fine or whatever in their own fucking alternative prepper way. And they'll tell me about their safe haven theories, and they'll say, I'm going to go live with Doug Casey and fucking, I don't know, you know, fucking Paraguay or Uruguay or quasi-Guay. I'm gonna live with fucking what's his name? You know, that motherfucker. I always forget his name. Jim. Anyways, I'm gonna live in fucking China because China's gonna take over the world, and therefore, you know, it's a safe haven, and I'll fucking use Bitcoin and I'll live in fucking China. I swear to God, I run into people every day and they all have their own little pet theory of how they're gonna be okay. And these are people I'm supposed to be able to date and or have friends with. I mean, this is the demographic of people I'm supposed to find a relationship with. And for the most part, they're just as batshit fucking crazy as everybody else. And you're gonna say, well, Dan, what makes you so fucking sane? And that too is my fucking point. How do you know I am sane? I'm probably crazy too. In fact, I'm on the other side of the equation. I'm the inverse. So sure, I could be crazy, and that thought might be true. But it doesn't really change any of what I've said. In fact, if anything, it is the exception or not the exception that proves the rule. If anything, my being crazy should fucking make you meditate upon this even further. It's hard enough to find any person to call a friend or girlfriend in what we call normal times. And it can be really difficult to do so in hard times. But what the fuck do you do in the in-between times?